in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through, legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says, it's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Let's see who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Woo!
Men and women unite. Men and women unite.
For me, in a sense that I had played with music and musicians that was of that caliber prior to joining Slave. So, and I think like a jazz musician. I'm known more from an R&B, funk, rock kind of cat, but I think like a jazz musician. So, you know, I'm into taking chances, which others would say is are taking chances. I say I'm just continuing to evolve. And so that's how I was able to go into Hall of Fame One, and then they said Atlantic Records goes, you know what, if you give us another watch in you, it's a done deal. And I said, well, first of all, I already did watch in you. That's already there. I'm not trying to duplicate Slave. If I was going to do that, then I should stay. I mean, I'm not going to try to duplicate Slave and I'm not in Slave. That's ridiculous to me. Because I was hearing other things. I didn't leave because we were against each other. I left because I knew it was an evolution that I still needed to do as far as my growth, business-wise, too. So, yeah, so I went ahead and said, way out, where you never been before. And, you know, and it doesn't sound like watching you. It doesn't sound like Way For Me. It's its own thing. And I really had to stick to my guns on that because I said, listen, a lot of people underestimated me because I was the drummer that came in. So, okay, then you start singing and, oh, okay, okay, and you're writing, okay. Now you're doing your own thing and we're telling you here's the way to go and you're like, nah, I'm going way out. So that's kind of how that went. Okay. Yo, hi, this is Steve Arrington, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese, and we going way out.
Hi, this is Mason, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Perfect.
Over some of your favorite movies, and I'm at brunch in the basement with Therese and Siobhan. Stay here with me.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway.
All our offers, though, Jay.
I'll send you some cologne.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
time. So,
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing. So the name of the game is Rapid Fire. We say a word, and then you say what immediately comes to mind. I get five words, and then you want to get five words. And you don't think about it. First thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Okay. Look, shut, Javon.
Shut up. This is not good.
You're first, Javon.
Oh, I'm up first. Okay.
Okay.
Donuts.
The devil.
Oh, God. Freedom.
Elusive.
Music.
Forever.
Dancing.
Tonight.
Can I get romance.
It? Can't live without it.
All right, now.
Oh, okay. I'm up. Black people.
Beauty.
Melody.
Song.
Love.
Eternal.
Sex.
Tonight. Again, after the dancing. No.
God.
Forever and ever and ever and ever.
Thank you. Thank you, beautiful.
Absolutely. We love you so much.
Hi, this is Alternate, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Nice. And for those who are asking, how did you get your name, please?
It's my birth name.
Okay. All right. Birth
nothing
name.
Nothing to do with it.
No. Okay.
It's all mom.
Nice.
Shout out to mom.
Did she ever tell the story? Did she ever tell you what the story was?
I know the story. I just can't share it on air.
Okay.
I'll never hear the end of it. Trust me. So those that know out there, my friends that know, like, they're cackling right now, I'm sure, because it's a big
okay. Well, I'm going to have to get close to somebody that's close to somebody that knows the story.
We'll get it.
Right.
Hey, everybody, how are you doing today? It's only me, and for now, Rezzy's on her way. Oh, I guess you guys want to see me, right? I know, I feel like I look horrible today, but I'm okay. How's everybody doing? How you doing? Hi, Pop. Yes, that is Ultra Nate. Whoever. Ultra Nate, yes. Actually, I sent her, good morning, Pop. I hope you got what I sent. I sent it. So, yeah, I hope you got to see that show. If not, you should definitely go back and look up in the archives, Ultra Nate, if you go to the YouTube channel, all of the previous shows, at least most of them, are there. She was a great guest, and as a matter of fact, I think I had sent her a snapshot or something, and both, well, I'll speak for myself, I was like this, you know, I completely taken. She, Ultra Nate, is like bubbling brown sugar, just beautiful. Actually, all of the guests, everyone who's been on this show has been just marvelous and beautiful. And I don't even know what to say about
just how beautiful they've all been. I mean, think about it. Bernadette Stanis, Indira Khan, Ultra Nate, just everybody. Monifa, she's beautiful. She's beautiful. Oya, Cy Smith, Elizabeth Withers. If you like looking at beautiful women, you should check this show out. Because, you know, and actually, if I might say so myself, the show is co-hosted by beautiful women. Yes, Rona Bennett. What? Are you kidding? I mean, really, I don't actually keep a list of all of the people who've been on. And we've had some beautiful men. Terrell Carter. Freddie V. Jackson. Oh, yes. Dawn Robinson. Honey, please. Sometimes I feel like as I'm interviewing people, I'm like, oh, my God. As a matter of fact, I was, yes, Melba Moore, Sarah Dash. Ms. Dash is coming back on the show, I think, next week or this week. I'm not really sure. I think it's this week. Because we have not had her physically here, but Barbara Tucker, I mean, and Barbara Tucker is beautiful. Drive my car without a license and stand in a standing water. Okay. Standing warrant type. Beautiful. Yeah, she is beautiful. She is, they're just, and what about Patricia Houston? What about that? Okay, as a matter of fact, I believe her birthday is today. Is that correct, Pop? Look at that. Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. I love that picture. I love that right there. So, yeah, I can't. Yes, Miss Sarah Dash is coming on Wednesday. And Miss Houston's birthday is tomorrow. So I'm just excited about the whole thing. This show has been phenomenal. I was I took this week off from work because I thought I was gonna just take off a week to rest, right? And I made a couple of appointments, doctor's appointments, but I didn't realize how poorly my health was starting to deteriorate. I was just working. And every day that I was off, that I've been off, has been another appointment. It's like, but yesterday was good because I had to go on an appointment for my mom in New York. And I just really wanted to share this with someone. Coming back home, anytime I spend with my mom is great. It's a blessing. So that's not the thing. But coming back home from the Bronx, the Cross Bronx Express is the devil. I just want everybody to know I've been on the Cross Bronx Express back and forth all my life. I'm from the Bronx. But if you're not a New Yorker and you have any plans to visit New York, I just want you to know that the Cross Bronx Express, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're driving. It's the devil. I sat on that Cross Bronx Expressway for Everary. It's just the devil. It just is. Am I hydrating? So I drink a lot of water these days, a lot more than I ever have. Maybe not the 64,000 gallons that they suggest that you have every day, but I do drink a lot of water. The only other thing I drink is in the morning, I have a cup of coffee. And you can say what you want about it. There's nothing you're going to say to deter me until I stop working. Up until that point, I will have a cup of coffee every morning. Once I retire, I will try to rehab myself off of that, because I realize that coffee may not be the best thing either, but I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke anything. I don't indulge in any other thing except food. I'm clearly addicted to food because, you know, I just that's my addiction, and good food at that. Good food. I won't say what my other addiction is. I get in trouble all the time. And music. And what time is my first cup of coffee? When I wake up, whatever time that is. When I get up after I shower, go downstairs, make a cup of coffee. So, you know, don't have, I tried to withdraw from coffee once before, a few years ago. I decided I was going to stop drinking coffee. And I had these headaches for 2 weeks straight until I had a cup of coffee. And then I realized while I'm working, I may as well just do it and then I'll stop. I've tried other, I have not tried this, but the coffee for now. And, you know, maybe that's how I'll wean myself, Miss DJ, when I'm ready to cut the coffee out. Because, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. So what's everybody been doing? Oh, and just so that you know, I actually have the Blog Talk Radio up today, so that if you want to call in, yes, you can call in today. 347, let me write this, 996 394. You can actually call in today, because Therese is not here, and I'm feeling a little lonely since my baby left. Woo. So if you want to call in and say what's up so I can hear your beautiful voices, that'd be cool. That would be so dope. Because, you know, it's just me. It's just us's, you know. Somebody want to call and say what's up. What about you, LaVon? I know you got something to say. I'm on the M's, by the way, on my phone situation. Therese will be up soon. What about you, Miss DJ? You want to call in and say hi to me? LaVon, the number's up there. Okay, I had to stop the music. Misty, what is going on with me these days? Are you feeling some kind of way? If you're feeling some kind of way, then we feeling some kind of way. Okay, we not having that. We are not having that. So you just call. You just call out my name. And you know wherever I am, I'll come running, yeah. See you again.
Just call.
How? And wait, where'd you go? Where'd you go, sir? Where'd you go? Man, I just saw, what? Come on, man. Come on, son. Why he do that? Why he do that? You know what he did? He came into the green room and then popped out. That's
who's
why
that?
His name is Pop. Pop.
Oh.
Misty, call. Pop, come back on. Misty, call. She's
call.
Let me finish sorting out the laundry. I got you. All right, handle your skin, do girl.
Whew, I'm sweating.
You didn't run. You wasn't running like, ah.
What? I'm sweating like Patrick Ewing in the fourth quarter.
You sweating like me night and day with this damn menopause crap.
Oh.
How you doing, Wendy?
Like Patrick
Ewing
in the fourth quarter. You sweating like me night and day with this damn menopause crap.
Oh.
How you doing, Wendy?
I'm good. Good morning.
Pop.
Yes.
Headphones, if you got them.
How you doing, Wendy?
Wait, hold on 1 second.
Headphones,
okay.
If you got them. You got? Uh-huh. Oh, you good now? You good now. Okay. Hi, Pop. Don't you look good? Is he not handsome?
He's
this is
a handsome
this is
devil
one
he is.
Beautiful man, I swear.
Caramel coated complexion.
And that beard and oh my God. Oh no, we need
silver foxy.
You know what I'm saying? Oh my. Wait. How do we do this? Yeah, we need the big ups for the Pop. We need the look at that. Look oh my God. Look at him saying no. Say no some more. Say no. You know, that turns me on when people say no.
Unfortunately.
I was just coming to keep you company until Resi got on, but she got on, so.
I know. Look at that. Fine and yet more fine. Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at
thank you,
Pop.
Pam Jeanette.
That's right. That's the basis right there. That's Pam. She's like, what?
Looking like a whole Butterfinger. Hey, boo. Uh-oh.
That's it. That's it.
Ooh.
That's
today, the basement is sponsored by.
Oh, is it?
Chocolate chip muffin.
All right. Chocolate chip muffin. That's you, Pop.
We're all going to do the show. I'm going back in the production room.
And you just remember, you are our chocolate chip muffin. Bye, Pop.
Love you guys.
Love you more.
I got to get my skin and game together when Pop gets on the screen looking all caramel coated.
Right? Ain't he purdy?
He a purdy man.
He just purdy. Looking like a whole Butterfinger.
Okay, giving you, well, you know, giving you that Ron Isley cheese, right?
With the, you know, Ron Isley OG beard.
Can we talk about Ron Isley for a second?
Let's talk about him.
Or maybe more?
Sure.
No.
Let's do it.
First of all.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Let's talk about him. Talk about him, Leslie.
You know, so check this out here. You know, we often talk about, you know, lyrics. Like, I think you and I both, you know, agree that lyrics are the key or the structure. It can make or break a song, you know, and then when you throw lyrics to a beautiful groove and some, you know, some melodic bass lines and things, it just makes a masterpiece, right? Just hits you in your heart and soul.
Yes.
And, you know, what we stopped doing in aura, now it used to be R&B.
Yes.
Now it's aura.
Aura?
Aura. Aura and B. The reason why I say that is because we stopped celebrating women. We stopped, you know, in the majority of our songs, I'm going to say, not everybody, because we still got, thank God, we got the Anthony Hamiltons and, the Raheem Devons and the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
songs to celebrate women that are sung by women, okay? Like a Jill Scott or Erykah Badu or, you know, you name it, you got it, right?
Right.
So Ron Isley and this specifically goes out to the youngsters, right? And I say that because you don't have to always. Now I'm excluding rap from this conversation because I'm talking about something different. So I'm excluding rap, and I'm saying that for a reason, because that's a whole nother subject. But for the love songs, for the R&B, y'all got to start celebrating women. There is nothing like a Ron Isley-esque ballad floating through where he just says hello. He just said hello. That's all he said. And women, if that's what you're after, men, women by the score, by the millions, responded to his hello, hello. Oh, hey.
Look, there's a very famous line in a very famous movie. You had me at hello.
You had me at hello. Yes. Thank you, Billy Dee Williams.
Good morning,
Pop. Yes.
And Lady Sings the Blues, Billy Dee Williams. You want my arm to fall off?
Yes, yes. All of that. Just all of that.
Simple.
You know, Teddy Pendergrass.
Woo!
He didn't start off with no craziness. He started off by saying, I don't feel like being lonely tonight. I need some company. He wasn't telling you what to back up and how to jump and flip it. He just said, I don't feel like... And scores upon scores and millions of women.
But check it out. Even when he says, and he also says, what's the next line? And light a candle. You see?
Bow, 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 bow.
But he's telling you, turn off the lights and light a candle. He's not saying, turn off the light, put your ass up, let me bump it. No. That's not what he's saying. He said, turn off the light. And light a candle. Tonight I'm in a romantic mood. You know what I'm saying?
Turn them off.
Turn them off.
Honey, if you had the privilege of living your lifetime, living any part of your life, and you were over 15, and you had an opportunity to see Teddy Pendergrass live and didn't take it, shame on you.
And Peebo, yes. I told you, that man sang happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. And the way he phrased my name, I think people whose name is not Javon would have been like, okay, that boy was, woo.
That's another bad.
Yeah,
that's
shout out to Peebo Bryson, who just had his 70th birthday.
Ooh. And I understand, I understand folks that, now just be clear, that is not my diet, but I understand women who look at the zaddies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain class, there's a certain, we don't have to talk about sexual gymnastics. We don't have to talk about sexual prowess. We could talk about other things that stimulate your mind and it's just a certain maturity that comes with taking your time, ladies.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, when Lenny Williams was on the show, we played a song by Lenny Williams. Let me see if I could find that song where he's talking, he's really breaking up with somebody and saying it's somebody else. Somebody else is whatever. He's breaking up with somebody. He sang that song so sexy, you want him to break up with you.
Yeah.
years ago, you broke my heart. Said you was leaving me. Said you wanna make a brand new start. Said you found a new man. He made you laugh, he made you smile, made your life so worthwhile. But lately, you've been calling me, paging me, texting me, emailing me. Said it didn't work out, said you found out what he was all about. Now you say you wanna come back, you wanna get back on the right track. But oh, I'm not trying to hurt you, girl, but somebody else is holding me. Somebody else is squeezing me. Somebody else is pleasing me. Somebody else is teasing me. Somebody else is holding my hand. Somebody else is calling me their man. Somebody else is driving me to work. Somebody else is taking me to church. Somebody else is driving my car. Somebody else is my shining star. Somebody else supplying my needs. Somebody else got their name on my deed. Somebody else drawing my bath. Somebody else is making me laugh. Somebody else massaging my neck. Somebody else is cashing my check. Hey, somebody else, baby.
Shout out to all the singers who are on. Yes, and even when, yes, Teddy Pendergrass again, I don't love you anymore. It's just that simple. Yes. What?
That was
no, no, not like before.
Yes.
It's a shame, dirty shame. You know, with no disrespect, it was just straight talk that made for straight understanding, right?
Exactly.
That was it.
And you know, I don't know, although currently, like, I like listening to Little Kim now because I couldn't appreciate her when she first came out. I told you that. I was very much a snob, and very much like you, I don't like just putting it all out there. Get, you know, let me leave something to my imagination, let's just say. But that being said, now I still don't find it necessarily sexy. I find it fun. It's fun. You know, like I had to loosen up and allow myself to be fun with it.
You know what's funny? My first introduction to Little Kim's music was a visual. Because I lived in Brooklyn at the time, and I was taking the subway on Washington and Fulton Street, that stopped there. And when I was walking down in the subway, they had a poster right there underneath, over the top of the steps. So, you know, if you saw that first Little Kim, and y'all already know what I'm talking about, that first album cover was bananas. And I'm walking, and I'm looking up. And I'm saying, oh, shit, what the fuck is going on here? You know, like, so that was my first.
Yeah.
And then later on, you know, I used to live directly across the street from where Biggie grew up, you know, on St. James Place, directly across the street. You know, I was 215 and he was across the street. And they shot the video, one of her videos outside, or one of the Junior, I forget which video it was, but one of Junior Mafia's, and I saw Little Kim, you know, on the block, out the window. And I was like, oh, she is little, you know, that was my first, you know. And I just said how liberating it was for women to, at that point, you know, it drew me in, the album cover, because, you know, she was in that infamous squat, jeweled out, and I'm not as prude of, I happen to think nudity is a form of art, but not that she was nude, but she was definitely, it was a tasty choice. The squat is what, I think the positioning is what made it interesting, you know, And definitely the placement of that billboard. I was like, what is happening in America? But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, now, but I think I was so back then into being turned on because I was like, I just listened to stuff that turned me on. House music turned me on. Everything just turned me on. And then,
what is that?
But music that, if anything that is too blatant, and even though verbally, I think I don't verbalize it the right way. Verbally, I think we say the same things. It's just I don't articulate it the same way. Although you don't find no provocative, I do.
I don't find no provocative. No, I don't.
Yeah,
no. I think no is absolute. It's not provocative.
I don't think no. I think no with a period is a complete sentence, but I think no with et cetera dots are exceptional. Exceptional.
Okay, okay. Tell that to the judge.
Tell it to the judge, right?
Oh, man. But, you know, when I want to slow groove, usually I always go to one of my Teddy favorites. Come on and go with me. Now, you know, he invited a lady home, and it was the smoothest thing ever. And even though, again, that's not my diet, I probably would have went with Teddy.
Right. Come on over to my place.
I don't feel like being lonely tonight. I'm in need of some company. Is you now? I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it
see,
is.
And I feel that, too. That was my thing. I was taking it too literal, you know, like I think every song, every artist, is that somebody I want to get with? Can I use this to get with somebody? You know, like,
is that where your mind goes?
No, not now. That's how I was when I was younger.
That's
much younger.
Younger part? That was the younger part?
That was. Tasty love, yes.
Tasty love, my friend. You got it going on. You got it going on. What? You got it going on. What? You got it going on. I used to be scared of the dick. Now I throw lips to the shit. Handle it like a real bitch. As a hunter. Up until that point, women were expected to not have any kind of sexual feelings. We always heard the expressions notoriously about, you know, ladies don't do that or be ladylike, you know, meaning just basically a pillow queen and an object of men's desires. That's basically it. You don't have no feelings about how you want it to go, how you need it to go. You just sit there and take it any way they give it. And part of Little Kim for me was a sexual liberation of sorts. Not saying that she did my liberation. I was far more liberated than
she
came out. But I'm saying in terms of what we saw traditionally of women and their performances, Little Kim took it to the next level there.
Absolutely.
You know, she let you know it was okay to say, no, this ain't right. No, you're not hitting it like you think you are. No, your sex game is trash. No, you know, and you can have these conversations openly. And then also, you know, You know, she was invited to speak at a few colleges, I remember, around that time, and she probably still is, you know, I don't know. But she was invited to speak at a few colleges where the subject matters were about liberating women and the fact that women get to control their own bodies, their own sexual energy, you know, and talk about it.
Absolutely.
And you know, something men have done forever, you know. Stop putting us in these boxes you need us to be in order to flaunt your toxic masculinity.
So it looks like somebody's holding on the line, Rez. I'm not really sure, but let's try it. 0311, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, it's Pam Basic. What's up?
Hey, what's up, baby? How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, Rez, what's
Yo,
up?
Yo, I'm good. So what about you, Pam? What was your, I mean, I know you're a little bit younger than I am, so what was your first take on Little Kim?
I just like Terrell said, because I know the stuff she's talking about. I was like, oh, what the heck? And, oh, my God. And that was before I figured out who I was. But as I got older, I figured out that she's expressing herself just like you guys were just saying. The way guys do, you know, as long as it's been guys. She's expressing herself in the way that she wants to express herself. Why is it that only women, I mean, that only men can express themselves in any way, shape, or form, and women have to be in the box? Come on. So I applaud her. But first, when I first saw her, I was like, a little much for my little brain. But you got to think about it, too. Because Teddy Pendergrass, when he came out, because that's what made me call in, when you start talking about Teddy and Turn Off the Lights, that's one of my all-time favorite songs. That was risque.
Mm-hmm,
remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Turn off the lights, light a candle. What? Oh my God, turn that off. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but you've been good. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rez.
No, go ahead, baby.
I was just going to ask how you've been holding up in this weird time in the world.
The new now, or right now, I'm recovering off that first dosage. I just got the vaccine yesterday, so my arm is a little sore. I'm just turning on this computer. But I'm holding up. I'm here. I woke up. I'm alive. So I'll make it.
Yeah.
These are some strange times.
Yeah, they are. What made you decide to actually take the vaccine, and which version of it did you take?
I took it because I really did not want to take it for my own reasons. I'm sure you can imagine. At some point, I do want to travel again. And it's going to be, if I'm correct, it's going to be linked to your passport, to your ID. So basically, you'll be in a box not being able to travel. At the last minute, I'm like, you know what? I might as well take this. You know, it's in the food, stuff is in the food. I mean, how are you going to avoid whatever it is? So I got the vaccine, and I got the Pfizer vaccine. When I did the research, I found that more people of color were tested upon as opposed to the other two vaccines. So I did a little research, you know.
More people of color?
If I'm correct, as far as when they were testing it before they put it out into production, if you go to the various websites where they talk about the vaccine, they give you the breakdown of how many, you know, the population of people that tested. So people of color, it was definitely higher than the other two. So I figure if nothing else, if there was something to go on, they would have people who look at, like us, that they could refer back to as far as, like, you know, giving us a vaccine that they don't know how it's going to affect people of color. That's what made me, that's swayed my decision to Pfizer. Plus, I would probably never do anything with Johnson & Johnson based on their history. And the other one I wasn't too familiar with, I was like, let me just deal with Pfizer.
All right. Well, I wish you, you know, good health. Absolute
Thank
good
you.
Health. And, you know, I think I might have to take this damn thing against my will. But we shall see what we shall see, because I don't want to take it at all. I have no desire to take it, and if that means I can't travel, then I just because I don't.
When you say against your will, what do you mean?
Well, because the mayor of New York, and you know I work for the city of New York, the mayor of New York is now saying that he wants New York City employees back in offices starting next month. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that, okay, Pop is right. We'll do a little onion peeling. Pam, I'm going to let you go, baby, but thank you so much for calling
Thanks,
in.
Pam.
It's always good
thank
to hear
you,
from you.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Always
keep it up, please. Keep it up. Love you all.
All right, baby. We'll have you up here soon. Maybe you can strum that bass for us. What about that?
Working on it.
Yeah.
Working on it.
All right, babe. Love you. Talk to you later.
Keep some love.
Peace.
The basic. Peace.
First, happy birthday, Loretta.
Happy birthday, Coach Quain.
That's what's up. We love you. You know that. And so what was the question? Oh, we were talking about, So I happen to know that there have been people in my office who have contracted the virus, multiple people. People are in and out all the time. Giving me, you know, this sense that, you know, going back into the office is not safe. If multiple people in the office are contracting the virus, then that means it's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to be less likely to die from it, I guess, I mean, if I have to work because I have bills, you know.
I hear you absolutely. You know, I was trying to figure out if he said if the word was that city workers had to take it mandatory shots. I don't think anybody can mandate the shots. What they could do is mandate things, because remember now the pandemic has still been going on. There still have been flights moving around the country. There are protocols in place for masking up. Whether you have a shot or not, you still have to wear your mask. And there are, I do believe that this is eventually going to be an endemic. You know, and I've been saying that from the beginning, the same way the flu became the endemic and people were at one point dying from the flu. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. Come on, that would be insane. But what I am saying is the decisions made based on fear, you know, like that's the worst way to approach a person like me. You know, don't scare me into trying to do anything, you know, present the logical reasons for it. And I mean logical reasons. And so far, unfortunately, I have not heard any logical reasons for taking that vaccine. Because when people do fall and go to is the symptoms will be less. We don't know what.
No, you don't know. You don't know
that. For a fact, that's what they're telling you.
And since people have been taking the vaccine, hospitalizations have been increasing.
Basically.
So I don't get it. You know, like I just don't get it. But the only reason I'm moving in that direction is because I don't want to be. There's a whole bunch going on right now.
I'll tell you something. It by taking the shot, it by no way means that you can go maskless anywhere.
No, I know that.
You can still carry the virus. You can still pass the virus. So if the circumstances are the same, you know, if you're not telling me I won't get it and you're not telling me this will cure it, then it's no reason for me to take it. You know, that's what I feel. And if, and right now I feel like we're in one big clinical trial that they have gotten, you know, this is just because you don't know. And they can't tell you they have any data because they don't have any data. Now, maybe 3 or 4 years from now, they'll be able to look at everybody who took it and be able to draw some conclusions. But right now, we're all part of the clinical trial known as this situation. You know,
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. I didn't say that it's due to taking the vaccine.
Right.
I said people have been getting vaccinated and yet hospitalizations are still increasing. Oh, yeah. I didn't say that the vaccine is making people sick and sending them to the hospital. Let's be clear. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that people are still being infected. People are still getting sick enough to be hospitalized. And the number of those people still getting hospitalized is increasing. And it's not like you would think, because at this point, there are 500,000 people. There are more than 1 million people that have been vaccinated, right? They're saying like there's like 5-6 million people that have been vaccinated. So you would think, even with that logic, if this vaccine was helping, then the number would, the graph would, which way am I going? It would be going this way. However, it did one of these, going back up. So it doesn't, it is true.
They say that, well, I do believe that it's because they're, here's the thing. We're all just regurgitating information that's being fed to us. You know, there is no reason, you know, I do believe a lot of it is congregation. Yeah. People are, you know, getting together, but people are getting together thinking that they don't have to still take precautions.
Because now they have the vaccine. So they're getting together, they're congregating, and they're ending up in the hospital.
You know, we just have to kind of go on, the information that's being given, you know, and we have to kind of go with our God voices on it. And
yeah,
it just has to make sense. You know, I'm not arguing anybody's point of wanting to take it. I think you have a right to do what you
absolutely
think it, you
absolutely
know, what you think it. But when you start doing things like discriminating against people who haven't taken it, that's the issue that I have.
Yeah, it's like discriminating against somebody because they didn't take the flu vaccine.
Right.
That's stupid.
When it's essentially going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of information out. There's a lot of people talking about it. And then there's the Pfizer letter that was discovered amongst their constituents, board members, and stockholders that they had this meeting. And, you know, they're looking just the ways to monetize it. And I agree with one thing that's absolutely, we cannot leave anything in terms of our health in the hands of Big Pharma, because Big Pharma is not looking for a cure. Big Pharma is looking for a pay, you know, and any way they can get it, they will. Big Pharma controls a lot of the lobbying and a lot of the resources in this country, and they will stay that way as long as they have. We have a couple of entities that control this country that have a stake in the finances, and they don't care about. It's not about human beings. It's not about saving lives. It ain't about none of that. It's about profit, period.
Absolutely, because at one point, initially, they were saying that you take this vaccine, and that would be that. Now they're saying you got to take it maybe every year, because what was going to happen is they were I was listening to someone talk about stock, right? And the stock value of the vaccine would be one of those things where you buy the stock and then you hurry up and sell it and get out of it, because as of next year, it wouldn't be worth anything if it actually worked. They would have to stop using it, you know. But now they're saying, oh, no, you have to get revaccinated every year. What in the hell?
Well, that's the endemic. That's the only thing they do with the flu shot.
Right. And I have to disagree here with you that people who are congregating are not getting vaccinated. I have to really disagree with you because I've seen so many people post and talk about now that they have the vaccine, they can go and hug somebody. They can go see their mother. They can go here. They can do this. They can do that because now they have the vaccine. So I have to say that the opposite is true, that people are getting this vaccine and thinking that they can now do things that they were not able to do.
Right. Spreading it like a son of a bitch. They just don't know. Only way to prevent, we'll put it like this. Only way to congregate where you can say that you are safe is if everybody, right before they went to this, whatever this event was tested and found to be negative of COVID. Then that way you'd be in a room with a bunch of negative, excuse me. That way you'd be in a room with a bunch of negative folks with COVID. That's the only way you know. But the vaccine is not saying that you're negative. It isn't. You know, so if you're telling me I have to take a COVID test before I take a flight, gladly. Not a problem.
Right.
If you're telling me that I have to take a vaccination before a flight, problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
You know, if you're telling me that if I have to take a vaccination before coming to the barbecue, ain't none of y'all safe either. Sorry. It's just not. Now, if you're telling me to take a COVID test before the barbecue, have at it.
Ms. DJ, I'm not talking about only people on social media. I'm talking about people that I know as well.
Oh, yeah, social media now.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking about people who I'm talking to on the phone, people that I know did take the vaccine, and they do believe that now they can go and be with people, and they're hanging out. And then what they're doing, what I'm seeing on social media, which really scares me because a lot of the people that I'm talking about specifically are people I care about. And they're taking pictures with people none of them are wearing masks. None of them are wearing masks. And these are new pictures. I see you. You know what I'm saying? They're not wearing masks. And they believe that they're okay because they've been vaccinated. So it's not just what I see. And no, people are, you know, you can... They say you won't die from it. They don't know. Nobody knows what you're going to die from.
But all this to say, just be careful, good people. Please use your common sense.
Yes.
Please use it. Please stop looking for answers or them to rescue you because they're not. If anything, they're going to put you behind that eight ball, the proverbial eight ball. Please use your own instincts, your own research, your own common sense. You know, please stop listening to everything they're saying to make a decision. And most of all, please stop advocating based on information that you receive from the government, because governments have their own agenda. They do. They always have. You know, and I'm not saying don't listen to the information that's coming out. Do that. But do that in conjunction with your own stuff, you know?
Yeah, that would be kind of crazy. So you get the vaccine and then you can travel without taking the test. That makes no sense because you can still spread the virus.
You can still have the virus with the vaccine. Let's just be clear. They're saying you can still have the, but they never didn't say that the vaccine cured the virus. That is what I'm looking for. No vaccine clears anything, because I'll tell you something. I had a vaccine, as we all do, as kids, with the chicken pox. Remember chicken pox?
Absolutely.
I got the chicken pox again.
Yeah.
And as an adult, it was terrible. As a kid, I was walking around, you know, just fine.
Happy
but as
with
an adult, it.
It
was terrible. That vaccine didn't stop me from being hospitalized.
Brandon, you on the line?
What's up, y'all?
How you doing, baby?
Good morning. Hi, Rez. Hi,
Brandon got something to say so bad he's about to burst. What you saying, baby?
I'm coming from the 30-plus up, so I'm going to tell you my theory. And I wanted to say I haven't got or received vaccination, right? I've been tested, and everything came out fine. My father has gotten vaccinated, and so have others that I have known that are probably 40 plus, right? Now, I've been living as I was taught growing up, how to take care of myself, be healthy, be precautious, and just, you know, stay to yourself. I've been around certain people, not a group of people, maybe less than three people, maybe less than four. And I haven't traveled out of the city. And my father brought to my attention, he said, well, you know, you're real stupid because you're going to kill people if you don't get this vaccination, right? And I was kind of taken back by it. And I said, well, from the way you guys raised me and how you, you know, and I also too had chicken pox. And he said, you know, Brandon, you got vaccinated when you got your chicken pox shots, right? I was fine. And he said, you were fine after that. So I personally, in my opinion, feel like I don't need a vaccine. Because who's to say if we're required by law in the future that you have to take it every year, that something down the line won't come of other effects? Am I wrong for thinking like that?
No, they're actually telling you to a certain degree, they're sharing. This is, like I said, Brandon, I believe, and I'm clear for saying that I believe. I'm not coaching or telling anybody what they need to believe, you know, but
exactly.
I believe that this is all one big clinical trial, meaning they don't know, and we are the guinea pigs for 3 years down the line when they can look at us all to say, okay, here's the population where the limbs fell off. Here's the population that got Bell's palsy. Here's the population that got blood disorders. And then they'll be able to say this vaccine causes all these or could cause all this stuff. Now, some of the stuff you know.
And that's what I'm thinking, Therese. Like this is all still a clinical trial.
Yeah.
They're still experimenting with it. Because, I mean, they're still coming up with potential side effects and blah, blah, blah. It's just like any other drug. You see commercials or, you know, take this for your asthma. May cause blood clots, may cause kidney disease,
right.
Weight gain, and your eyeballs might fall out. In rare cases, you could die. You know,
they don't say it that slow, though, Javon.
No, I can't speak that fast.
We are the lab rats.
Because it's so many, it's not just one thing. It's so many potential side effects. Everything has potential side effects. Everything.
Absolutely.
You know? So this is not, you know, and it hasn't been tested long enough. Usually trials take years before it's, okay, sealed and approved.
Yeah,
and
that's what I said. About 5-10 years from now, we'll know all the effects
exactly.
of that vaccine, or they'll have a new one to counteract the stuff that. Listen,
so
the pharmacy game is more lethal than the crack game was in the 80s and 90s, because the money's in the comeback, which is the reason why they don't have a cure for HIV or AIDS, which is the reason why they don't have a cure for cancer, because all that medication that you have to take for both to sustain and maintain is money, you know. And I'll go back to Dr. Sebi. Yes, rest his soul. Dr. Sebi was one of the court cases and this is a fact. You can look it up. Look it up. Dr. Sebi was claiming that he was doing all these things, particularly curing HIV. He went on record for saying that. And I'm paraphrasing. Y'all can look the story up. It's public. But I'm paraphrasing it. I'm going to say that again. But they put this man in the position where he had to prove it or get penalized. They took him to court for it. They told him to bring,
look at that.
And I don't know the real numbers, but like five patients or whatever. I don't know the real numbers of how many people, but he ended up bringing in triple the amount. And that just slipped into the darkness. Why? Because he proved that he was able to do it. A lot of it starts with nutrition, good people. A lot of it.
Thank you.
In fact, 98% of it.
Yep. I agree.
He's a record for saying that he cured, not prevented, not cured, and then proved it. And what they do? Just let him out. Shh. Because prior to that, it was like he was smeared all over the place with saying what it was and called all kinds of crazy up until. You know, it's tricky. It's tricky.
Yep. You have to go with your intuition. You have to go with your intuition, and you have to live day by day and stay healthy and continue to be precautious. That's all it is. Stay your ass at home. If you're not an essential worker and you don't have to go out, and, you know, run to the store, come back home. Wash your hands. Simple. Grandma's taught us that.
I think that when you travel, maybe quarantining is necessary. I don't know if staying at home, because see, what happens is you stay at home, you don't get what you need. And people need vitamin D. I mean, everybody does. But, you know, specifically people in color, being inside all the time is not
healthy. No, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. I can
you go outside, like go to places that are open areas where there's not a lot of people congregating, or, you know, go sit out front or back if you are privileged enough to have a front or backyard. But what I'm saying is expose yourself to the elements. Sunlight is a great woman.
Yeah.
Well, Javon, I just wanted to chime in and tell you guys I love you.
Brendan.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Money.
And I'm always here for you guys. I'm proud of the platform that you guys are given and the way you guys are using it. And it's growing and growing. And before I leave, I just, you know, I got to give you my little update. I had a conversation with Ms. Flack on Wednesday. And I told, no, yes, on Thursday. And I told her that we are all loving her and that we're never going to forget who she is. And she told me, you're so sweet. And she said, I wanted everybody to know, thank you, and I don't think I'm ever going to get away from the music. So that's her message to you guys. I promise you. I love you guys. Thank you, Javon. Thank you, Therese.
Love you, too. Love you, too,
Brandon.
Shout out to the great legend, Roberta Flack.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We have another call here, 4002. What's your name and where you calling from?
You know who this is. LaVon, cousin.
LaVon, what's up? How you doing, baby?
Hey, Javon. Hey, Rez. How y'all doing?
So what's up with I need you to talk about this thing about Therese's eyes. What's up with that?
No.
We need to discuss that. That's like its whole genre.
You don't stay messing with me. We already talked about this. We're not going back to the whole.
Well,
I said what I said. Thank you. I'm just saying,
like, you know, you brought it up. I just wanted to explore it a little deeper.
No, we had a whole like session. We had a whole show and everything about, you know, my feelings about the Lethal Weapons and all that type of stuff. Brad gets it. That's why she's like, no, we don't need to.
Do we don't need to discuss it anymore?
Straight up resosexual.
Right.
Like, I'm standing in mine.
But wait. When she saw the comments, she put the glasses on. See, me and Rez, we eye to eye. We, you know, there doesn't need to be any rehashing. She gets it.
That's because she's a little shy. She don't, you know, she don't want to drive you completely batty.
You know what, Javon? How you doing, sweetheart? How are you?
I am well, thank you, and that is really a blessing because I had a little bit of a COVID thing. I think I mentioned it. As I said before, I'm an inpatient therapist, and we had an outbreak, a bona fide outbreak. And it wasn't like before where it was like 3 patients tested positive. There were 8 patients, and there were like 6 or 7 employees, all on the unit that I work on. So tested positive and everything, did quarantine for 10 days, got cleared to go back to work, and by that night, I was sick. And I had to take
after the quarantining?
Say that one more time.
You said you were sick after the 10-day quarantine?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
So had to deal with those symptoms and stuff. Had to take a little bit more time off. And the thing is that I had to, I guess fortunately I only had 2 days where things were really, really, really bad. I mean, I was very, very, very sick. But at the same time, I still don't trust this vaccine. Like, I just, you know, and that I don't shame other people for not, you know, getting it or anything like that. If a patient asks me what I think about whether or not they should get it, I tell them that I think they should take into account all of their life systems, and that's with, like, you know, their health, and, you know, they should, you know, get information from their doctor, do their own independent research, and with that body of data, they should make a decision for themselves. But I really just don't trust this vaccine yet or whatever. Like I said, it's, you know, the trial thing kind of makes me uncomfortable because I do feel like we're all still a part of a clinical trial, no matter how it's being packaged to us. And there's just not enough, you know, there wasn't a long enough testing period for this vaccine. And I think I just look at it in an existential way as well, because it's just like, look, if I'm meant to go, I'm just meant to go. Like, you know what I'm saying? If my immune system can't handle it, and, you know, my higher power, you know, decides against something else, I mean, that's just how it is. You know, I'm not fearful, I guess. And I guess not everybody has that mindset. And I respect that.
Yeah, I'm probably co-signing that with you, and I'm glad you are feeling better. Let me start to say that.
Absolutely.
First. You know, and sometimes, you know, like my wife here had me taking health choices. Well, let me say this. She's drilled down on the nutrition part in a big way, you know, and sometimes because we're super foodies, we eat a lot of things that, you know, may not necessarily be great for us, but we like the way they taste. So we have to do, you know, still doing it, still in the process of doing the clean out and, you know, just making sure we're putting healthy things in, you know. And I think some of the choices may be like, I can't wait to get into another space where I have access to, like, spaces where I can grow my own stuff, you know, because in reflecting, I started thinking about all of the things that I grew up on, and fresh food was one of them. You know, our food choices,
yes,
and sources for making the food industrially has changed since we were kids, you know, from the meat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy you're feeling better.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You know what's so crazy is that during the quarantine gave me a reprieve from my addiction to Krispy Kreme. I haven't had Krispy Kreme in like it's been a while. Yeah, I don't, you know, so it helped with that.
Okay,
I mean, that,
what's a while for an addict? What's a while?
I am not really sure. Hang on 1 second.
She's like, she's got it written down somewhere. That's deep. Last time I had a Krispy Kreme.
Because if I say that,
hey,
I would have to be.
You know the last time I had Krispy Kreme? Okay, they said it's about a month ago. So I feel like I'm doing well.
Yeah.
You are doing very well.
Yes, that's very good. One day at a time, sweetheart.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
I'm with you on that one. Because my long time, I haven't had it in a while. What's a while, Red? 2 whole days.
Yep. I know. I realize what I have come to realize during this time home is that I am addicted to sugar, which is terrible.
Which is in everything.
But you know how I know? I have it hidden.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Wait, stop. You're hiding the sugar?
Yep. Sugar here, sugar there, sugar everywhere.
Girl, them sugar took on a whole new meaning.
Devon, why are you hiding the sugar though? Like, what's?
Excuse me.
What's going on? I'm curious.
It's like an alcoholic hiding the bottle.
Wait a minute, why are you hiding it though?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is there a need to have this clandestine relationship with the sugar?
Because it's it's sexier if it's hidden. It's like, yeah.
Okay.
You know, Javon, I just have to say, right? I have to say, it's not really like a shame because I love the fact that we met the way that we did. But you would be such a challenging and fun patient. You really would. You would. Because here's the thing. I love the use of humor, even when you're using it to deflect or avoid. And, like, you've got, like, this little stubbornness that I would actually want to pick apart. I'm not going to lie. Like, sometimes as a therapist, I listen to you or I watch your demeanor and stuff like that, and I, in a very clinical way, I almost salivate. Like, man, you would be a challenge.
Well, wow. Thank you for saying that, man. That's the bonus right there. Look at her eyes. Here she goes.
I just think you sound too sexy to be therapizing anything. I think you should take a look in the mirror, maybe. You up here therapizing me. I think you should, like look at yourself and try to figure out why getting into my head.
Let me do some damage control. I'm sorry, boo boo. I was playing. Don't get mad.
Okay. She just teasing. She's just playing. Bae, it's all right. It's good. We good. It's peace. We good. Trust. This is very safe banter here. This is very safe banter.
Who are you talking to?
I have no idea.
Oh.
No, she's talking to Bae. Like, cause Bae is like watching in the other room. She's watching the show and everything. And I just had that little, you know, the little joke I made about salivating over you clinically or whatever. And I just want to make sure I'm in the clear.
That's clinical. That's, you know, that's clinical. I get that. Salivating clinically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
No, there's nothing more, and I'm going to say this in a non-Jada Pinkish kind of way. There's nothing more when someone is making their breakthroughs, you know, and that with something particularly they've been challenged by. That's exciting, you know, that's exciting.
Yes.
The problem is I haven't made any breakthroughs.
No, we know, we're just saying, you know, in overall.
People think that I am funny and that I'm, you know, deep or something. I don't know. Whatever it is, and people think that maybe I'm smart even. I don't know what people think. But I'm telling y'all, I'm crazy as fuck, and I be struggling on this show because
Hold on a minute.
I want you to therapize me even though I am resisting it. I want y'all to understand.
I know. That's one of the things that is just like, you know, just being able to like look at somebody and like, or just like observe them. I won't say look because it's more than just looking. It's kind of like seeing the things that you don't want to be seen. Say, you know, hearing the things that you don't want to be heard. And you know that because I've sent you separate messages on Messenger and stuff like that.
Now you're going to get the self-control.
You know, but it's like, you know, I know that and everything. I wanted to, honestly, I have to challenge this notion that you can't be, I don't like the word crazy. I don't like that word. I really don't. But you can't be that and still be funny and still be, you know, smart and all of that other stuff. Like, you can be all of these things. I don't like the word crazy. That's going to be your challenge, to come up with another word to replace that. I don't like the word crazy. I really don't. But you can be all of these things. You can be all of these things. It's like, honestly, I just had a session with a patient, and she has Crohn's disease, right? And what I did, because, you know, she speaks a lot about the frustration that comes from it, and she's just like, oh, but I have Crohn's disease, but I have blah, 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 blah. And I told her, I said, your assignment for the next week is that I want you to write a letter to Crohn's disease, but I want you to write it as if it's your child. Mm-hmm. Because the thing of it is that the disease itself, it's not going to go anywhere just because it causes you hardship and frustration. But if you're looking at this thing as a part, you know, however not ideal it is, if you're looking at this thing as a part of your body, as a part of something that you must care for, which is the truth, you must care for this thing. If you can look at it like a child, because we'll allow a child, especially our child, a certain amount of latitude. Like, yes, you get on my nerves, but you're my baby. You know what I mean? I'm responsible for you. I love you and this, that, and the other one. Not saying that she has to love this disease or whatever, but it was a new way to give her perspective on dealing with this, you know, unfortunate situation, but in a very, in a more empathetic and honestly beneficial way, so that it's not, you know, because it's the thoughts and the feelings that we have in response to the things that happen to us that are the issue. It's not the external issue itself. So, you know, feeling this way and putting yourself in a perseverative state, it's adding another stressor that she really doesn't need. And we followed it up, and she said she struggled a little bit, but she read the letter to me, and she found it beneficial. And I always tell people, it's the things that we say to ourselves that means the most, right?
Yeah.
So I really, that's going to be your challenge. Like, again, I know that I can't, like, you know, what's your word? Therapize. I can't actually do it fully on because we do have, like, you know, because I'm a subscriber to your radio show, so there's like a conflict of interest or whatever, so I can't take on that sort of role or whatever for ethical reasons. But at the same time, I can throw a hint out, you know, or a suggestion out here and there or whatever. And my challenge to you would really be to, like, look for opportunities to, like, seize on, you know, those types of statements, the whole I'm crazy thing, or earlier when you said people think I'm smart, they think I'm funny, they think I'm cute.
I didn't say cute. That you said that.
What did you say?
I said people think I'm smart. People think I'm funny. I don't know what they think.
Here's the thing. You are smart. You are funny. You know that.
You are kind. You are, okay.
You is kind. Right. You're deflecting again, but you get what I'm saying.
Some of what you said, I got.
Gotcha.
Because somebody, look, y'all, I have to, and let me just, I have to deflect for a minute, okay? It's not because I'm trying to not whatever. But people don't call me while I'm doing the show. If you're watching the show and you're enjoying the show, don't call me to say, hey, I'm watching your show. Could I think this and that. You know, like, it distracts me, because I'm sure you said some good things, LaVon, and there's a piece of it when I came back. I was like, who's she talking about with a child and a baby, and look at it, and who had a disease? I didn't have to. Well, are we still talking about me? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I recently, I'm not putting that up there. I recently.
See?
I can't mess with everybody, right? Okay. I recently.
Okay, you're speaking in people. What is going on?
She's got four things going on and outwardly.
But it's all in my head. It's all in my head. I'm like having five different conversations. But okay, I'm just going to speak to you, LaVon. So I called someone who is a therapist, because it was recommended that I get therapy and get it quick, right? So,
wow, okay.
Yes. So I contacted this therapist that was recommended and left a message. I get a call back a couple of days later, and what the lady said to me was, is this Javon Armstrong? I said, yes. She said, well, I'm calling because you were interested in, and she said, in counseling, but I didn't remember her. I really didn't. I didn't remember making the call. I did what it was suggested because I like to take suggestions when people care and are heartfelt. But then after that, okay, I did what you said. Leave me alone, right? So I forgot. So I thought the lady said canceling. I said, and I've been trying to cancel subscriptions because I'm trying to save money so I could retire, right? So I said, canceling what? She said, no, counseling. Again, I heard canceling. I said, what do you want me to cancel? I'm saying, you call me. I said, but I want to cancel, but cancel. What am I canceling? She said, counseling. I said, oh, right. Yeah, I did call about counseling. She said, well, we just got booked up. Sorry, I this is a courtesy call. We can't accept you as a client. Bye. Click. I was like, damn.
What the hell? Okay. First of all, let me just say, I don't know who this person is or like what. I'm getting pissed because that's not how you conduct that sort of phone. I mean, like the end of that phone. Let me just tell you, so that you don't have like this view that, you know, because I don't want you to think that that's how that's supposed to go. At the end of if you cannot render services to someone, the last thing that you should do is be like, oh, we can't help you. Click. That's totally unprofessional. I'm sorry, unprofessional. I'm mad, so I'm like, okay. It's totally unprofessional, okay? So what you do is that you make a referral, okay? And if you can't make a referral, you provide resources, okay? Because once you call back, you're kind of entering into like a caring or helping space. So you can't just close it, okay, inappropriately. You can't just close it abruptly. She wasn't calling you to sell magazines or something. This is someone's life. Like you reached out for counseling, for help, because you need something. For all she knows, you were actually in crisis. So she was supposed to link you or at least offer to some sort of resource.
Facts.
Well, she connected me to was a dial tone.
That's probably good that she wasn't available at that point. Look at God.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, because sometimes, like, on a website, babe, or something, like, you have, like, a, you know, a picture of something. Do you know anything about her? Like ethnicity, and I'm not trying to sound any way or anything like that.
She's
a
black woman, and she had locks, and maybe that's why she was referred. Like I was referred to her, but you know, because I'm a black woman with locks.
Like, the thing is that like especially because being a black woman or an African American, however you want to say it, we know that there is like a deficit of mental health care for us, that's even like packaged to us, that the follow-up is not where it's supposed to be, like, and we have so many like ingrained like mechanisms that kind of turn us off from getting therapy and getting counseling and all that sort of stuff like that, and they're you know, self-defeating, but at the same time, again, they're ingrained, they're long-standing and everything, right? So it's like, I just feel like if you're an African-American woman in this profession, you have to do better, you have to take care of us. You understand what I'm saying? Go that extra mile. Don't just hang up the phone.
Okay.
Facts.
I'm sorry. I kind of got a little excited. That's not for you, but it's just like it's a frustration that goes on. Like I said before, so many of the people that look like me, I feel like they're grossly underserved, you know, not just in like psychiatry, but in like the medical, you know, facility in general. And I mean, the medical organizations or establishment in general. So I do go out of my way to kind of, like, do more for us. You know what I mean? And it's, like, it really makes me angry when somebody that looks like us has lived the life that we've lived, they understand our struggles and things like that, and they do things like that where it's just, like, I mean, on what planet would that be okay, no matter what profession you're in, you know? I just don't think there's a lot of, like, accountability taken into you cannot treat, you know, counseling, the helping profession of any sort, like you're working at a Dwayne Reed. And there's nothing wrong with working at Dwayne Reed, but I'm just saying there's a higher level of urgency. You know what I mean? There's more damage that can be done.
I like the way you sound.
Okay.
I am so mad.
I feel like I should call that lady back and let you talk to her and punch her in the neck with some of your, you know, verbally.
Yeah, you know what? Give me the number. Give me the number. I'll do it.
It could have hurt my feelings if I cared.
You don't even know.
it's not that serious. Nah, I know you would. But, you know, thank God. And you're right. Thank God I didn't care.
Well, thank God that, you know, sometimes people forget how you show up. You never get a second chance.
Exactly. I would never. And I would never recommend her. I would never use her, and that's good.
This
to
was
know.
The actual doctor, not an assistant.
Yeah, no, I think it was her, and I don't think she's a doctor. She's probably, you know, an MSW or something, because you know, you can't get far in a practice being that way.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Maybe.
Yeah, you can.
Devon, actually, I agree with Rez. It's sad, but you actually can. You actually can. What? You can actually get far with that type of behavior in a practice, you know, depending on how the head doctor, if the head doctor actually cares about, you know, client care, or, you know, because you have some places that are just like, they're pill mills, you know, they exist, you know, the services are just like, they have to look a certain way on paper so that they can get paid, but they don't actually, you know, care about the actual, you know, client care or, you know what I'm saying, the rapport and stuff like that. That's the thing. Yeah. Even if you're calling for a follow-up, even if you're not going to treat somebody, you must maintain the space for rapport, even if it's going to be like a three-minute, two-minute conversation. Like, she was not supposed to leave that way. Period.
Well.
Yep. You know, it's funny that during my time in heyday in those spaces, I would make it my business to get with, if one of my kids came back and told me a doctor treated them a kind of way or made them feel a kind of way, I was always at that next appointment. Just because
you know what?
Speeches.
You know what, Rez? And I remember that person. I remember that person. And it was just like, you know, and honestly, we needed people. I wish that I could have it just two people that were just on that level as you were, because they were like we said, like we know each other. Like, I used to be a resident at one of the places where you directed, and one of the things about your demeanor was really just like, no matter how aggressive I was, no matter how dismissive, no matter how much of an attitude that I had, you showed up, and it was just really like you had this sort of like demeanor that was just like, look, I care about you more than you could possibly understand or even believe. And I understand that. So I'm going to fight this battle with you, right? I'm gonna do like the whole the banter, the helpful banter and all that sort of stuff. I'm gonna teach you what you need to know, you know what I'm saying, to make better decisions. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the aggression, like, you could get this work too if you want. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not scared of you. Like, you could get this work too if you want. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm not gonna back down. And honestly, that is what is needed. That's where the hole is in treating a lot of, you know, in my experiences, like, you know, as a therapist now and everything like that, is just sort of like the minute that an African-American person, male or female, becomes loud, they're aggressive. And it gives other clinicians the excuse to kind of keep a distance. Oh, this person is aggressive. No, she's not aggressive. She's loud. There's a difference. You know what I'm saying? This person is aggressive. They're not communicating. How in the hell? Aggression is communication. No?
Yeah.
You know, if they come from, you know, like a tough or, you know, background where they were just like constantly victimized, do you honestly think that even as an adult they're going to walk up to you like, hey, I need your help. You know, I'm really hurting. They're not going to do that because history tells them that it's too vulnerable a state. You know, that they're going to be taken advantage of. And the easiest emotion to default to is anger. That's why so many people without the resources, they go straight to that. But the thing about aggression, in my experience, not just from personal reasons, but just like watching people and like experiencing everything that life has had to teach me, is just like, in many forms, aggression, the yelling and the wanting to fight all of the time, it's just like, I want your help. But I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to be put in a position to be a victim, you know. And it's been very rare because I go after the aggressive patients because I have thrill issues, I guess, and I'm a little bit of a creep like that, but whatever. I go after the aggressive patients, you know what I'm saying? And once we develop a rapport, because I start looking for an in, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes an in can be as simple as, you like that type of applesauce, I'm going to talk to the kitchen and see if I can get some more so that I can, to be honest, a little bit bribe you, I guess. You know what I'm saying? But I'm looking for an in. You like a certain type of music, I'm going to come to you in the morning like, hey, I'm going to play some music over the loudspeaker. Tell me what you want to hear. You know, you start building little by little by little. And a lot of times I'll build a rapport with the patient and we'll be sitting down and I'll always tell them, you told me that you needed to talk. You know, and they're just like, I was like, you know, I was crazy, miss. I was all over the place with it and everything. I was like, yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You didn't come out and say, listen, miss, I need to talk or whatever. But the acting out, it's impossible not to communicate. And you've been communicating all over us since you got here. You know what I'm saying? It's just, we need people with spines. We need people with a backbone. I mean, it really does boil down to that.
Right. Oh, my God, I'm so proud of you.
Yes, I'm proud of her, too. I didn't even know her back then, but I'm proud of her as well. So, and really, if you were not a regular listener and my cousin here on this show, I would probably hire you. I would
you
definitely work with you.
I would.
And you would treat me nicely. You wouldn't hang up on me, right?
No, ma'am. I would not hang up on you. The word nice, though, is relative. I would do my job.
You would do your job.
I would treat you therapeutically.
You know what?
I dig it. I don't know about nice.
I dig it so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, LaVon. You the bomb.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you for sharing
yeah.
that. And for yeah. those of you who yeah. don't know LaVon and you want, how could people, if somebody listening says, hears you the way I hear you right now and says, wow, I wish I could have a therapist like that. How could people reach you or reach out to you? You know, if you don't have your private practice, this is a good time to start. Why don't you put your information in the comments section and
okay,
also
so,
tell people how they can reach you.
All right. So, I have actually, it's funny that you say the private practice thing because she just burst into the door when I started talking about the private practice because she's been telling me that forever. I got it, babe. I got it. I'm still doing inpatient work at the hospital. I recently became an independent contractor with a private practice firm. And I think I told you that, Javon, I started doing some outpatient work and stuff like that. And the next step is definitely like my own private practice because I feel like, you know, in the very near future, I have to be in a position where I can control the space completely.
Yes.
So that there's no, you know, there's none of the, excuse my French, the bullshit that goes on with the, you know, like with the hospital, like, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful. I know that I'm fortunate, you know what I'm saying? And I work with some amazing people, but there's a lot of bureaucracy that goes on that I just don't respect. The thing is that, like, it, in a very real sense, I'm still a soldier. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, you give me a set of rules and you tell me that this is how this has to be, I will adhere to those rules, even when you do not.
Mm. I feel you.
You understand? I'm not removed from that, and I'm not going to remove myself from that because overall, not just in work, but in life, I adhere to a code. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not going to be manipulated for, you know, your little bullshit side, you know, project or agendas or any of that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? So as you might imagine, I'm not the most popular therapist.
That's all right. That's all right. You don't have to be. You're setting up something
exactly.
right now for your life that you don't even realize. You're setting up something big for your life that you don't even realize. Just keep talking
sure.
it into the universe and put your contact information in the chat so that if someone wants to reach out to you, they can do that.
All right, will do. I love y'all. I'll talk to y'all.
Love you too, baby. Love you too. And Therese, I'm about sick and tired of these people talking about your eyes. I got eyes too.
Listen,
see?
Yeah.
Look, I got eyes. I can see not that well without the glasses.
Keith, could you please connect Keith and LaVon?
I fell in love with you the first time I looked into them eyes. You have a certain little cute way of flirting with them eyes. They make me feel so happy. They make me feel so blue. I'm falling, no darling, falling in a great big way for you. My heart is jumping, you started something with them eyes. You'd better look out, little brown eyes, if you wise. They bubble, get you in a lot of trouble. Ah, oh, baby, them eyes.
Okay, so Keith, Javon. Okay, so Keith, she put her email address up for you. It's Lavon B, and she's right under your comment.
And it's on the screen right now, so
yes,
you can just take that.
Right, yes, yes. You know, we need more culturally sensitive, provocative.
Uh-oh. Is that the doorbell? Who? That? Hey,
Sherry
Carpenter. Sherry Carpenter, y'all. What's up, Sherry? Sherry McFerry, my girl.
You put yourself on mute, Sherry. What happened?
How y'all doing when I'm sleepy?
Yeah.
We worked late last night. I looked over my clock. I was like, oh, no. It's 11:22, which is 12:22 for y'all.
Yeah. So, Sherry, how are you?
I'm good. Contrary to what I look like, I'm good.
You look beautiful.
You
always look beautiful.
Thank you. Yes.
So for those of you who do not know who Sherry Carpenter is.
She, you better ask somebody.
You better ask somebody. Sherry, first, let me just do a little quick rundown of some of the movies that Sherry has been affiliated with, either as script supervisor or as a director, or she even had a little role, which is my favorite thing to talk about. I don't know why, but in Waiting to Exhale, I just think that, and it's not a funny scene, but I crack up every time I see it. But Sherry worked on King Gangster, Inside Man. There was a short, Jesus, Children of America, She Hate Me, 25th Hour, City by the Sea, the TV movie documentary, Jim Brown, All American, Disappearing Act, Bamboozled, The Best Man, The 24th Hour Woman, 24 Hour Woman, right? That that TV special that John, I can never say his last name,
Leguizamo, that he did,
Freak. Sherry worked on that. The First Wives Club, Waiting to Exhale, obviously. Not only did she have a role in it, a small role in it, but she was also script supervisor on that. She worked on Clockers, Crooklyn, The Saint of Fort Washington, The Night We Never Met, Malcolm X, Juice, Jungle Fever. And also, if you don't mind, I just want to, because what you're doing right now is incredible. What you're working on right now is just, I'm so proud and so happy for you. And you do look amazing. I agree with you, Ulysses.
Yeah.
Woke up like this.
Yeah. Three's Complicated.
Yeah.
Three's Complicated.
That you wrote, directed.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit about that first? And then we could talk about what you're working on now. And sure. And somewhere in there, we'll talk about how you're really doing. But I just got so excited to see you, because I always do. But you know that. I'm always excited to see you.
Sorry, said, yes, I know you get excited.
But you
don't see each other that often. We used to go out to dinner sometime, but that was like, well, pre-pandemic, that still felt like a long time ago.
Exactly, exactly. I really sincerely miss you. You know, when we miss, we all miss what, well, I don't know that we all, let me speak for me. I miss some of what life was prior to the pandemic, some of it. I don't miss all of it.
We all mourn that for sure.
Right? But one of the things I also miss is how I could call you or hit you up at any time and say, hey, let's get together, and we would somehow make that happen. And it was always like a treat for me to spend time with you wherever, whenever, whatever. And yeah.
And
you just dope. And you know what? I have to, okay, I'm talking a lot because I'm excited, and I'm excited to share you with people who may know you, may not know you, but some of you may know that I used to sing, and I did a music video, and it was a marriage equality video, music video. That's how I think I first started getting a little popular around, people started knowing who I was maybe around that time, right? And Shari is the one that edited and directed that video. And I got on her last nerve as she did that. We sat up until 3 o'clock in the morning right here in my basement. And I got on her last ever loving nerve, Lord. But, and I apologize again for that, because I was, I don't know, I just, I was tired.
That's LaVon C.
But I learned how to edit video that night, and I tell everybody that you're the one that taught me how to edit it. And as we end this show, I want you to stay and watch some little stuff I put together, Shari. This is you. This is
okay.
You, girl. You the bomb.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about Three's Complicated. Let's talk about what the movie was and, you know, stuff.
Okay. Well, you tell me what you want to know. Three's Complicated. It's a romantic comedy, it's a black romantic comedy. I love black love. That's one of the things that's very important to me about my own personal content. It's not deep. It's about a woman who has a bad day. She ends up having a whirlwind affair with a guy that she meets in a bar who's 10 years younger than her. And then she finds out later on that he might be involved with her. Young adult daughter who's in college. They know each other that way. And it's kind of like it's a small film. It takes place mostly in one house. The daughter brings the guy home for the weekend. The mother is like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I love my daughter. I've been with him. How do I handle it? So that's kind of the premise of it. So what else would you like to know about it?
How was it to see it aired on TV1 as a feature movie?
Can I say something about it, based on your comment that you said prior to this, though, Shari? What attracts you to black love, and why is that important for your personal choices as a director, film director?
I mean, it's important to me because I just remember when I grew up, I didn't see it very often at all, and I still don't feel like, and that was a long time ago when I was little, I still don't feel like we see it enough. We still don't. I mean, when I was coming up, like when I was working with Spike when I first came up, once he got successful, all of a sudden there was this rash of hood films. So there was a lot of stuff about black people getting in trouble, black people killing each other and all that kind of stuff. But we still, and there was a whole movement toward those kinds of movies. And even in the wake of something as successful as The Best Man and oh God, what was that movie that took place in Chicago? Love Jones. There wasn't necessarily a rash of black love stories in the wake of what was back then called the black film renaissance. So I still don't think it exists. So it's something I crave to see. And I feel like if you have the power to create something that isn't there and you have the ability to do it, then you should do it. And so that's kind of what has driven me all this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talk about a little bit about She Gotta Have It and how that impacted you.
Oh. What is she talking about? Oh, She's Gotta Have It. You mean the first one?
Yes.
So, I mean, I always wanted to be a writer. I've been writing since I was a little kid. I was super shy as a kid, so I wrote and made up stories all the time. Never, ever, ever knew anything about making movies or thought about becoming a filmmaker. And I went to see She's Gotta Have It with a friend who had, he had turned down a role in the movie and he wanted to go, and it had gotten rave reviews in the New York Times. So he was like, come with me, let me see if it's any good and if I made a mistake in turning it down. So we went to see it at this tiny little theater on the Upper West Side in New York that no longer exists. The line was around the block. And I went in and I saw this black and white film made by this young black man who wasn't that much older than me. It was set in Brooklyn, which I didn't live in at that time, but I had lived in Brooklyn. And it starred this black woman who was the same age as me, who looked like she could have been a friend of mine. And I had never, I mean, it seems crazy to say that, but I had never seen anything like that before. I had never seen anybody that remotely resembled me on film. And so we went to see it that day together. Like a few days later, I went to see it again by myself. I was like, I want to do that. And not only do I want to do that, I want to work with that guy. Now, I didn't know that guy, but I was like, I'm going to find him and I'm going to figure out how to work with him. And oddly enough, the day I went back by myself, Spike is a king marketer. So he was outside the theater selling T-shirts and buttons the day I went.
See what I'm saying?
So I bought a T-shirt. He's a crazy marketer. I bought a T-shirt. He signed it. I was like, I want a button. He's like, I don't have one anymore. He had one on his lapel. He gave it to me. I still have that button to this day. And I just spent like the next, because I had no film background whatsoever. I was like, okay, I need to take some classes. I need to figure out how to do this, but I want to work with him. And so I spent like the next year to 18 months finding out a little bit about film. And eventually I wrote him a fan letter, which got me my first job in film. That's got to have a story.
Oh, yeah.
And then she ended up working on just about everything that he created after She's Got to Have It.
In the early days, yeah.
Yeah, she can be found on every credit. Someone was asking about your social media, and I know that you don't have a big social media following because you don't really press like that. No. But
Shari the director on Instagram.
Shari the director. Let me write that.
On Instagram. If people even still do Facebook, I'm on Facebook. I am not a Twitter person because I just don't feel like... Oh, no. I don't know. Social media never goes away, so I don't want to put my foot in my mouth and then regret it. So I think that's kind of why I shy away from it.
Exactly. Exactly. So let me just play this real quick.
Mom that wants to be in a love triangle with her daughter. Okay. That's nasty.
Sunny?
Asia.
There isn't one thing that I
would
do.
What? Well, I described Asia as a strong, powerful woman. And if there was one thing that she can control at this point in her life, it's her career. And then we quickly see that crumble within the first scene.
So what's it going to be? Door number one or door number two?
You forgot. Door number three.
You're fired.
No, I quit.
So then you, as an audience, get to go through her being completely lost.
She starts out with having, you know, a rendezvous. It was definitely very much of an impulse, and it kind of comes to a head all in a weekend.
And Eleni and Deja have a great relationship, which is why this situation is such a delicate one.
I play a character. Three is complicated. It's called Craig. He's a guy who's been in a long-term relationship, loves his wife, and at some particular point, he steps out and he hooks up with a younger woman.
Craig, who is her ex-husband, who also has a particular charm about him.
Hey, you know you can do anything you want. Trust you.
There is a love and a history between Deja and Craig, and so I think the audience will be left trying to figure out who to root for.
You can understand how somebody having the baby daddy, you know, the ex-husband come home seeing this young guy kind of taking your ex for a spin. They kind of butt heads a little bit.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What'd you say?
mean us? Wait, are you serious? You and him?
Oh, brother, here we go. The role of Sonny that I play is a guy who's very driven to get some money in his pocket. He's going from job to job and actually runs into Deja's character.
I think that what Tyler Lepley brings is this thing, and it excites her in a way that she hasn't been excited in a long time.
Wood is a TA that Eleni has a crush on him. I think he's stuck in that middle where he's like, oh, well, I don't want to lose my friend, but I also don't want to lose the woman that I'm in love with.
Rooting for him, but got to make some decisions too.
And then you have beautiful Eleni, who's played by our beautiful Kiki, and she is so oblivious.
Eleni is probably the sweetest girl you'll ever meet. She's just like any other college student who's trying to find her way. So she meets this TA, Wood, who she hits it off with. Their good friends, and he visits her house, and she thinks it's her time to go for Wood.
The audience is left saying, ooh, you know? So it's so many of those oohs, and I think that this movie is so brilliant.
Nice.
Sherry McFerry.
That would be me.
That movie is a sizzler. It's just amazing. Is there any way that it could, become like a some kind of spinoff to it? Like, have you thought about a spinoff to it or anything like that? A sequel. Or have you put it to bed? Like, okay, I did that. Now I'm moving on to something else.
I mean, I personally have put it to bed, but I mean, it's been out now since, I think it came out in 2019. So after it came out, people came up to me and said, oh, I could see it as a TV show, or I could imagine how it can continue on. So, I mean, I think a friend of mine was like, I'll pitch you the whole show. So I haven't thought about it, but other people seem to have thought about it. I mean, if somebody came up with a great idea, I wouldn't be averse to it, but I never wrote it that way. I wrote it to be a feature film that you could see in the movie theaters. And it was like, in my mind, it was like a little $2 million black rom that hard to make. And we just could not get $2 million to make it. And so TV1 read it and they loved it. And they came to me and said, you know, if you ever decide to do it for television, we'd love to work with you. And I started to think about, okay, Sherry, what do you really want? You want people to see it. So make it with people who really love it and love you and want to do it. So I did it with TV1 and that's what it is. And, you know, I got this amazing cast. Shanola, who I was not familiar with because I don't watch Shameless, where she has like a gazillion followers. But she, you know, when I saw her, I was like, that is my Deja. I mean, it was also important to me to have a brown-skinned woman with natural hair because I used to have locks, even though I don't anymore. And so when I saw her, I was like, that's
Yeah.
One thing I say is a bootleg copy of it on YouTube. So if you watch it on YouTube, that's not the real thing. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
We don't do that. So, Sherry.
Yes.
What are you doing? Why are you tired? What have you been working on this week? Where are you? What's going on in your life?
Why are you in the hotel?
I'm in a hotel room in New Orleans. It's pouring rain outside. I got this great invitation to come and direct Queen Sugar, which was like the dream of my lifetime. And when you get an invitation to direct Queen Sugar, you drop whatever you're doing and you say, yes, thank you. So that's where I am, and that's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Wow. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for Ava that she's getting to know you. And how does that work?
She's not here. She's actually in Atlanta making another TV show.
Really?
She don't stop.
Yes.
Wow.
But you did have an opportunity to meet her and talk to her.
You and I have never met face to face.
What?
We have texted, but we have never met face to face.
So how
she's going to work before she knows you, which is even better.
That is true. I'm really pleased. I mean, I can't talk about what's going on in the show, but I'm so happy with what we're doing. I think she'll be pleased. I mean, because that's the hard thing about doing a TV show. This is somebody else's baby that you have to take extraordinarily good care of.
Mm.
And I think we're doing that. So I think she'll be happy.
So
nice. What is that like? I'm sorry, Therese. I'm going to let you ask. I just want to ask this one question. Something that, that's a stupid question. Because most directors direct things that they didn't personally write. So they actually just direct the act. Okay, dumb question.
No, but what was your question? No, it's not necessarily a dumb question. Because directing a movie that you didn't write is different than directing a TV show that you don't write.
So let's explore that a little bit then.
Well, I mean, when you direct a movie that you didn't write, people sign off on it, but you can pretty much create your vision of it. Mm-hmm. When you direct a TV show, I'm walking into 6 seasons of Queen Sugar that have already been established, and people love this show. They love it. I was going to work the other day, and the driver was telling me, he said, I was in the bank. The woman said, tell Micah I love him. I mean, people love this show. And so you come into something that's already established, and you have to work within that framework. You have to work with the tone. There's certain kinds of things that they don't do. You know, it's not an action show. There's not going to be big chase scenes. There's not going to be zoom-ins and all these kind of really crazy sort of tricks. Mm-hmm. It's a drama. It's a family drama that's incredibly beautifully shot, and they have an aesthetic, and you have to work within that aesthetic.
Mm.
Right. Yes. It is a beautiful, beautiful show.
Stunning. It's stunning.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, and you can, I guess, weigh in on this, Shari, if you can say technically that the people behind the scenes are diverse. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of women involved in production, which excites me, which says that, yes, you can have a diverse show with women that are working behind the scenes, particularly women of color, and produce amazing results, because Queen Sugar is absolutely one of those.
No, it's true. I mean, I think most people know after all this time, but maybe they don't. Ava has made a commitment to hiring only female directors to direct Queen Sugar. Most of us are first-time television film directors because it's so hard still to get your first job as a TV film director. So I think there's like 42 women that she's hired so far, and like 39 of us have been, it's been our first time directing television.
Look at that. And see, good people, it is possible. It is possible. It is possible to make a pledge to what you want to see different, or the change that you want to see in the world, and make that happen through one of your projects, you know, and make that happen. That's like nothing to sneeze at. Shout out to Ava DuVernay for even having that focus, that centering of self to say, listen, this is what I want to see in the world. And this is what I'm going to create on my opportunities. And hopefully the prayer is that all 39 or 40, whatever, of those women do the same so that we can start being the change, you know, and that's amazing. I can't say that enough. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. She's so. Being the change she wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So what's the experience been like on a emotional level? Like, are you excited, happy, nervous? What are you going through?
I mean, if you want the long story,
I'll take it any which way I can get it.
I mean, the long story is I actually got hired last year. I got hired to do season 5, and when that happened, oh Lord, the phone rang. I didn't answer because it was an unknown number. I got this message that said it was this woman from Queen Sugar, and I was like, so I called her back, and she was like, we'd like to invite you to come down to Queen Sugar. And after I got off the phone with her, I almost literally fell on the floor. I called my sister. I was screaming. I was crying. She couldn't even understand what I was saying. I was
shout out to Patty.
And I was like, I'm from Queen Sugar. And she's like, what did you, what? You got what? So I came down here last March, and I came the week before the country shut down. So I was here for a week. I was prepping. I was on a cloud. It's just an amazing environment that Ava has created down here in terms of work and the community that she's created. And I came on Monday, and on Friday afternoon, we gathered as a team, and they were like, we're going to shut down for 2 weeks is what we thought at that time. And you know the rest. So I came back home thinking we were only going to shut down for 2 weeks, and I kind of stayed in it and stayed in it. Then time went by. And finally, I just, like, broke down and started crying. I had to grieve that this was not going to happen at that point. And I was pretty devastated. I mean, it literally was a dream come true. So that was hard. And then I got the call that I was going to be put on season 6. And it happens very quickly. They could call you on Monday and you're in New Orleans by Friday. So it happens really quick. Now I'm in it because you shoot for 7 days. I'm day 5 now, so I only have 2 more days. So it's been surreal. Like when the thing came out in the trades and it was my name, it's still, I'm still blown away by that. So I just try to get up every day and go to work and do my job and not think too much about it. And everybody is just so loving and so kind. The cast knows they're going to get a new director every week, and we may have very, very different levels of experience. I mean, some people have done a short. Some people have done a feature. Some people have done a documentary, you know. Some people's styles are very different from what the show is, and they are so welcoming and so inviting to help us do the best job we can for the show. It's just, it's an amazing experience. But I feel really calm right now. I mean, the first day I was terrified, and I got to work and everybody was just doing their thing because they do this. This is their job every day. Right. So everybody, okay, Sherry, what do you want? You want to do a rehearsal? Okay, people, Sherry's here. No, it was no fanfare. No, let's get to work.
Nice.
And it's been like that the whole time. And they've just been, I feel so well taken care of. She creates an environment. Ava creates an environment for you to succeed.
Wow.
Mm. Everybody works their level best to make you succeed.
Mm. That's amazing. Mm. This is a great opportunity that you absolutely deserve. And I cannot wait to see your episode in particular.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, right? Good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Nice. And I'm so grateful for your opportunity. Obviously for a lot of reasons, but I'm more grateful the fact that the environment to succeed exists and you can be in it about the work and just making sure everything, like, you know, goes the way that you want to sculpt it, which is beautiful. No, sorry. Yeah. You absolutely deserve it wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Thanks, Rez.
You got anything else coming up? Anything you working on? Any new scripts? I know you can't publicly tell it all, but you know.
I mean, I can tell a little bit. I got there's a black queer showrunner named Ben Corey Jones. And during the pandemic, he's a writer and showrunner. He worked on Insecure. He worked on Underground. He worked on Boomerang. And he's got a bunch of stuff. A young black guy out of Tennessee, I think. Yeah. And he decided during the pandemic that he wanted to create a TV pilot writing project for people from underrepresented communities. So you had to either be queer or a person of color. And he was going to pick 10 people. He was going to do a 4-month cycle. He got so many submissions. He's done 2 cycles. So he did a cycle in the fall and he's doing a cycle this spring. And he selected me to be one of those people. So we've been doing the workshop. I think we're in week 4. I had to miss the other night because we were shooting, but it's just this group of 10 black writers in a Zoom room.
Wow.
And he's helping us craft. One of his thing was, if you apply to the program, you had to apply with a story idea for a TV show that was about something inspired by a real life experience, because his philosophy is, if you can't write your own story, you can't write anybody else's.
Mm.
So you had to come up with an idea that was inspired by something that happened in your real life. And so it's just this group of black people of all varying ages. I'm sure nobody thinks it, but I'm clearly the oldest person in the room, but it's fine. And it's a space that you're not often in as a black person, which is, ain't nobody there but you and black people. So Ben is like, come here with, just bring yourself. Just be your complete and utter self. If you had a bad day, no big deal. If you feel like shit, who cares? Just like completely be unapologetically yourself in this space. And he's a hoot. The other night he was making me laugh. I was like, you remind me so much of Spike sometimes. He will pull back his head and cackle in a way that so uniquely reminds me of Spike. That's what I'm doing. So I have this TV show, Javon, that you will appreciate, but I won't talk about
it
right now.
I think you already told me about the premise. Yes. I hope that's it. And
I think that's it. And it's very.
Yes.
He's like, write the thing that scares you. If there's something you want to say that's scary, that's the thing you need to write. And so, you know, that's what I'm doing.
I just want to let you know that I'm available to portray any parts. I'm a great actress. You just don't know that part of me. I'm, I,
imagine.
You know, I think there may be a particular role in that show that I might be qualified to play.
Maybe so.
You might have to write it for me, but I promise to use the voice. Okay.
And actually, am I supposed to, and I can't say that? I did a project with Therese earlier this year. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it yet.
Not yet, but yes, okay. She did. Yes, she did.
Good, amazing. Good. Excellent.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know what, Shari? Love you to pieces. Love you to pieces. We have a game that we play here, mm-hmm. and we're going to play it with you right now. It's called Rapid Fire.
Yeah.
Start her off, Rez. Let her know what it is.
Now, what Rapid Fire is, Shari, it's a word association game. It gives our audience, you know, as you know, we have an international audience, and it gives our audience a peek behind the veil. So it's a word association game. You probably played this before in school, but you know, this is the adult version, 2.0. And what we do is we ask a word and you say what immediately comes to mind. So I'll go first, then Javon will go. So let me know what
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay. Community.
Harlem.
Harlem.
Yeah, that's my community.
Harlem.
Oh, Harlem. Gentrification.
Love.
Black.
Black women.
Powerful.
Storytelling.
Shari.
Image.
Representation.
Global.
The future.
Black men.
Complicated.
Grandmother.
Don't have one.
Big Mama.
Aunt Lina.
My last one will be sex.
Abstinence.
Javon, you have next. Make sure.
All right. Music.
Miss it.
Friendship.
Can I use more? Crucial.
Trust.
Friendship.
Confidence.
Strength.
Personality.
Abundance.
Originality.
Imperative.
Creativity.
Joy.
Spice.
Creativity is God, actually.
MCC.
MCC?
MCC.
What is MCC?
First thing that comes to your mind.
What? I'm going to regret that. I'm like, I know I should know, but I don't know right now.
It's okay. Spike.
My career.
Shaka Khan.
Javon.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much, Shari. Shari, when you've done that, like you can, I don't know why I'm feeling like people could read my mind today. It's really not that easy, is it? Right? But once you're done with Queen Sugar, And once you're finished the experience of directing, I want you to come directing that show. I want you to come back and sit with us again, okay? Thank you so much for coming through. I love you to pieces.
Yeah, I love you. We need to build you the right way, Shari. You're definitely not a pop-up, but it's always a pleasure to see your face.
Oh, thank you all. Thank you both for inviting me, Javon.
Always.
It was so ironic that she reached out to me a couple of days ago. She was like, did you ever do Queen Sugar? And I was like, funny, you should ask.
Exactly. Shari's are every day, every time, any time. I always want to see you. So thank you so much for coming through. And thanks to everybody, especially LaVon today, for that therapeutic, you know, massaging of my brain. That was so good. You know I could use it, Shari. You know I
need
to.
Yes, I do know that.
You know. Rezzy, I'll see you next time. And like we said last time, every 3 days, every time we meet, there's another something. Let's pray that there's absolutely nothing in between us, between this time and next time. Shari, I want you to hang out and check out my little skills. You did
this. Oh, okay.
You,
all right.
You taught me this. Check it out.
Okay. Family.
Love.
Children.
Truth.
Melody.
A gift.
Community.
Mandatory.
Black women.
God.
Black men.
God.
Love.
God.
Visionary.
Alien.
Sex.
Heat.
Okay. You're up next, Javon.
No, you have to give him one more. You can't do nine.
Oh, that was nine? Okay. All right.
You have to make it even.
Okay. My ten. Luther Vandross.
A gift.
See how perfect that 10th one was?
Perfect.
For some reason, my tongue is just not working. Words are not coming out of my mouth properly. Forgive me. I'm articulate. You're quite goofy, but it's just not working for me tonight. So, personality.
Fire.
Authenticity.
Needed.
Recreation.
A must.
Truth.
Honor Black people.
Chaka Khan.
God.
That's all I got for you. I have a request. Can you make your drop lyrical? Like, can you, like, kind of sing it a little bit?
You hit him with that voice, though?
Which one?
Spooky voice. Wait a minute.
But, you know, look, it's him.
This is Rasan, and you're listening to WBJR. Fuck. I fucked it up. It's WJBR, right?
Yes.
WJBR. Okay. This is Rasan, and you're listening to WJBR Internet Radio.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
everybody, you're in the basement with Javon and Therese. This is Melba Moore.
No longer alone with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She just, she wasn't even there, actually. But anyway.
Well, our office, though, Jay.
I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
With time, so
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Just for that little piece, I'm just gonna keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just do this.
Thanks, Sherry.
I was like, what do I do?
That's it. That's the end. I appreciate you coming through, sweetheart. That was so dope. We'll have you come on, as Therese was saying, as a feature again. You know, I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I'm so proud of you. Look at you in the basement. First you were doing a radio, and I don't think people didn't see you then, did they? Was it just a listening thing?
It was just a listening thing to begin with, and now we have this.
Look at you. You have found your calling.
Look at us.
That's true.
Look at us.
That
but,
is true.
You know, I just can't wait to see what else you do. It's always going to be amazing, everything you do.
I hope so. Is it just you and me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I mean, I hope so, too. Last night we were filming, and one of the production assistants that works with the actors came over to me. And was just telling me, you know, how much she was enjoying watching me work, and she aspired to do what I'm doing. And then she was like, the actors really like you, Sherry. They speak so highly of you. And that, like, meant so much to me because, you know, you're only here for, like, a week. And, you know, in 3 days, they'll be working with somebody new. And so I just, it made me feel so good to know that the connection that I thought I was building with them was actually a reciprocal thing. So that was like, ooh, I hope Ava hears about that.
No, that's dope. I'm sure she will. And. Yeah. If you have a business, even if you, and especially if you're not present, you have ears, and you have someone there as the eyes and ears, and they're reporting back to her about everything. Mm-hmm. Because if you were fudging it up, she would know about it. You know what I mean?
No, that's definitely true.
And so if you have a good business, you know everything that's happening regardless of whether you're there or not. You know, the lady who was on the show Wednesday night, she owns a bakery in Chicago, and Kamala Harris stopped by her bakery, and she got a call from one of the people, you know, mm-hmm. the manager or whatever. She was like, oh, my God, the CIA is here. They're sweeping the store because the vice president is on the way. And she was at this other location because she's trying to buy a candy store or candy factory, whatever.
So she rushes over. It was only took her 6 minutes to get to the area. The CIA had it on lockdown, so she wasn't able
to get in.
To get in, not even in the perimeter. So, but she was already aware of what was going on every step of the way. I'm just sharing that to say that, you know, if you have a good business, you have good people who are going to let you know what the heck is going on while you're not there.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's true. I mean, because she's got this other show that she's doing in Atlanta. So she has an executive producer who's on all her projects who's normally here, but he's with her in Atlanta now. So he's coming in. He's, you know, jumping into meetings via Zoom. So there's this other producer who's kind of the eyes and ears of everything, is reporting back to everyone. So I know that what you're saying is true. And luckily I have a really good relationship with her too. So I'm trying not to focus on it too much, but I'm very aware that the better impression I make this week, the greater opportunities might exist to continue to work within this very broad realm that she's got going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't wait. And the TV show, now that you have Ava's ear, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
You just,
no, it's true.
It's just good things, you know, and you persevere, and that's what's up. That's what's up. So I'm going to let you get some rest, and I'm going to go do something, who knows what. And it's good to see you always.
You're already doing something.
Who knows what.
You too, my friend, you too. Maybe we'll see each other back in the city once the pandemic seems like it's kind of
lifting a
little bit away.
When are you coming back home?
I'll come back next week. I'll probably be back like Wednesday or Thursday. Are you working in person? Are you Zooming in your job, or what's the deal?
I have been working from home, but the mayor is talking about having us all go back to work. So I'll probably know next week or within a week or so when I'm going back to work. I'm mm-hmm. hoping not to, because I don't feel comfortable being around mm-hmm. a lot of people with this pandemic. To me, it's still out there. So why would, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Even with vaccinated or not vaccinated, I don't want to get sick. Vaccinated or not sick, vaccinated. So I get sick and just won't die? Fuck that. I don't want to get sick. I don't want it.
Did you get vaxxed?
No. No.
Vaxxed?
I don't want, I'm thinking if I have to go back to work, I might. I don't want that shit in my body. I don't want any of it. You know, I've been staying in my basement.
Yeah.
I go to the supermarket, masked up pretty much once in a blue moon. Cheryl and I will go out to dinner, but not often. Mostly I'll go pick up an order
mm-hmm.
and bring it in. But I'm afraid of this thing. I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, this thing, a lot of people I know perished, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with that. But I'll know next week whether or not I'm going back to work and whether or not I'm going to end up letting them inject that crap in me.
Well, I got injected with the crap because I knew I was traveling on a plane. I was coming down here. This was a big deal to me. I wanted to do everything I could do. Because, I mean, they did the show last season, but it was crazy. You know, people getting sick, all this kind of nonsense. I was like, I want to do everything I possibly can to get through this successfully without getting sick. So I have friends who are like, oh, you're going to be in New Orleans? Are you going to go this place? I go from my hotel to my job.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Walgreens down the street. I go to the Walgreens. It's like, I didn't come to New Orleans to sightsee. I came to New Orleans to work.
Right.
And that's all I'm focused on.
And
so
you're,
I got
wearing
back
your mask.
Before I left.
You're wearing your mask still, right?
Oh, how we get tested 3 days a week. You get tested 3 days a week. I got vaxxed before I left New York. I got my second vaccine here. Everybody has to wear masks. It's a big compound. She has a big compound. So like the hallways have arrows on the floor where you can walk in one direction. You got to sometimes walk these big circles so you're walking in the right direction. You can't congregate. I mean, a lot of stuff that I used to do in the office when I first got here, I did in my hotel room. Our meetings are via Zoom. So yeah. I mean, and once we got to shooting, we had to be on set, of course, together, but everybody's masked up.
Good. I'm glad that it's safe, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, as safe as one can be
in
the world we're living in right now. But absolutely, I don't feel in danger ever, honestly.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Hi, Miss Cheryl.
She's good. She's out there yoga-ing, you know.
In person or Zooming?
In person.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how long she been doing that?
It's been a couple
person,
of months.
I mean.
It's been a couple of months. She was doing it via, you know, Zoom, but they opened up. So they have no more than 10 or 12 students. They're distanced. And she's, I believe, wearing her mask the whole time because she's not doing the yoga. She's instructing it.
Yes, in the yoga. Mm-hmm.
But I don't like it because, you know, the people can't be doing yoga with the mask on in a hot yoga room.
I think they, I mean, my yoga studio that does the same kind of yoga as hers, he eventually went bankrupt because we couldn't get back. But he had, his plan was like, we're going to have a certain number of people. People are going to be socially distanced. They're going to wear their masks. That was his thought. So they may be.
Yeah, but I could see maybe them doing yoga with, there's a type of yoga called, restorative yoga. It's simpler. Mm-hmm. You can do that with a mask without, you know, the hot room and stuff. It's more stretching and stuff like that. But get online. You know, I told you, you know, you could start your own following in classes. You could do it every day online. Have people cash app you, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever.
I know. I mean, I'm a yoga head, but I never try to go online, but there's just something about being in the room. That is a community, so I can imagine it's a much more challenging thing to do.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, people do it, but I mean, people sell, you know, whatever, but it's just not the same thing as the community of being in the room.
Yeah.
But she's smart. I'm sure she wouldn't do it if she didn't feel safe.
Yep. But
so how's your family?
Everybody's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
Everybody's good. How's your sister?
She's good. I haven't talked to her a lot since I've been here. My cat is she's cat sitting my cat at her home, and this is my shy cat. And apparently, my cat has not come out from under the table for the entire 3 weeks that she's been there so far.
Yeah.
So Pat's a little disappointed. She thought she was gonna get a little kitty love, and it ain't happening. But she's good. She's busy.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad about the whole thing. Anyway, enjoy.
You
hugs
too.
To your family.
Thank you. Kiss Cheryl on the head for me.
I will. And hopefully see you when you get back.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, darling. Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.